The episode you're about to listen to is a special edition of The Startup Show, recorded during Grit Daily's live event at South by Southwest. Here we have an expansive range of topics and featured experts from various industries. Enjoy.
Hello, and welcome to our talk here at the lively and Grit Daily House at South by Southwest 2024. I am Monica Proffitt. I'm sitting here with Florent Stropa, also known as Florent Stropa in non-French accents, and Garrett Kinsman. So you guys are both from Nodal. We have the CPO and the co-founder. Thank you so much for joining me.
Hello, Monica.
Thank you.
Yeah, so we are seeing more and more about Click, your new app that is on the Nodal network. And I want to first start about just what's going on with this Click launch that I've seen so much. And then I want to kind of dive into what Nodal's about.
Yeah, at Nodal, we're building what we call a digital trust network. And part of that is a fundamental primitive for the internet that lets anybody take verified images and videos. So we believe that one of the most important things that we can do for the next decade of civilization is to empower anybody with a phone to take pictures and media that are verifiably real. And that's what we're doing with Click. We're letting anyone with a phone capture images. We push those images onto a blockchain, and now anyone can verify that that image is trustworthy.
And we've created something very special because it's really easy to use. Just shoot, then you swipe, and then it's posted on a blockchain. The unique part of Click is that you don't have to use tokens or anything related to crypto to be able to use it. You don't have to pay, you don't have to send Ethereum. It's very simple. You just download the app and you will be instantaneously able to post a picture on the blockchain. So that's kind of the unique value proposition of Click.
Like, if you think about how journalism worked in the past 100 years, like, oftentimes you would drop a journalist in an aircraft in like a conflict zone, and they would run up with their Leica camera and get into danger situations and run back with the film, and there would be a race to get the film to New York City so they could publish it or get it back to a major city. And now everyone has a smartphone in their pocket. The problem is that up until now, you couldn't trust what's being captured on a phone. Like, a big job of news agencies today is just filtering out all the images and videos. And with AI-generated images, it's really, really hard. So we think this is kind of exciting, that anyone with a phone, if they're there, if you're seeing something exciting, you can take a picture, it can be published, and then people can reasonably trust that material that's being pushed out.
That's incredible. I mean, and so what I'm seeing is, you're saying that this is posted to the blockchain. Does that mean it's an NFT? It's just an NFT that's put there. It's not one that you buy or sell? Or is it something that people are also kind of swapping out and buying?
Yeah, absolutely, Monica. Technically, it is indeed an NFT. It is an NFT that is minted by the user with no, let's say, there's no purpose outside of this is me who took this particular photograph. So you own it, you're able to transfer it, but it's not necessarily for selling it. So there is no like commercial aspect to it. But technically, in the background, it is the NFT technology.
So it really is just an NFT for social good. It's NFT for verification, purely purposes. That's it. No OpenSea, no Bored Apes, no like, it's going to be worth 400,000 Ethereum in the future. None of that.
I mean, maybe in the future. We love the idea of letting people pick how they want that image to be used, and maybe being able to trade that. But for now, it's all about, it's about the content and sharing the content and getting people excited about that.
Okay, so we can go two different ways here. We can either go blockchain. Can you just tell me exactly how this is working? Because the blockchain in the background here is a real, that's the Nodal fundamental. Click is sort of sits on top of it, right?
Yeah.
We can go there, or I would really also want to hear about different verticals. You're saying journalists really would use this, but I think there's a lot of other, I can think of so many other places where I am so tired of wondering if that's a real picture. For example, if anybody knows one of these rings of hell, it would be called online dating, where you're like, oh, he's amazing. And then that's who shows up and you're like, that's not what I signed up for. And now I have to have a drink with this person. It's not fun. So there are two ways. Can the blockchain keep me from having bad dates is really the point. That's the apex here.
Definitely. There's a lot of, the past, I guess, 5 years, everyone was trying to build applications for blockchain and that maybe did not have a good product market fit. And outside of DeFi, we think that provenance, this idea of associating a proof, an identity to media and content, is one of the best use cases for blockchain today, because it actually outperforms the existing ways to do it. You asked a little bit how it works. I mean, what we do is we say we're a digital trust network. Up until before, the way that you would trust something on the internet was something called a certificate. And this is a really kind of outdated concept. It's very expensive. And blockchain allows you to attach a proof, kind of like a certificate, to a piece of media and then sign it, which is kind of like giving your signature, except it's very, very secure. It's really hard to forge these digital signatures.
Okay, wait. Stop there. What do you mean it's really, really secure? What is it? I mean, specifically, how is the blockchain so, so secure in this way? I mean, how is it that I can be sure that this is now stored so differently that it really is fraud proof?
So today, like when you take a picture with a camera, go ahead, Farhan.
No, I wanted to add something about like the... I will answer the question afterwards, but sometime with Garrett, we disagree on a few things, and I wanted to...
Yes, there's
surprising.
A fight.
Really? So yeah, we always disagree.
You just didn't know it, Garrett, apparently.
I wanted to add a few things about use cases of blockchain. I think authenticity, the thing that we are working on, is super important, but blockchain already changed the life of many people already today, applications. So I can give you a few examples, which are not necessarily that obvious when you live in the United States, but outside of the United States is quite major. So I would say first, donation. When the Ukraine war broke out, what happened was that the government of Ukraine put an Ethereum address for donation. And in a space of like a couple of hours, they already received millions of donations out from anywhere in the world. And in the end, I think the amount that they were able to raise was about $30 million. So quite a substantial amount of money. You would not be able to do that with traditional financial system, with the fiat system. It's just very cumbersome. They would never publish like a IBAN or something like this, and people would not set this up. With crypto, it's so easy. You don't need to tell anything about who you are. It was just scanning a QR code or copying a string of character, and in a few minutes they were starting receiving payments. So donation is a major game changer. Crypto is a major game changer for donation. That's one. Second one, I would say, in Latin America, particularly in Argentina, you see that Argentinians are using dollars, crypto dollars or stable coins, for their life. So the dollar is way more stable as a fiat currency than the Argentinian pesos. So they actually use the dollar to help themselves in their day-to-day life. So those two things are very important innovation that crypto and blockchain were able to provide. And authenticity, the thing that we are being, I would say, is the third part, which is really critical.
The next big killer use case.
The big killer use case is the authenticity piece of it. So not the sending money on the blockchain, but it's the storing a piece of data on the blockchain that, and no one can stop you from using it. So if you like download, say, the Click app, it's on the Nodal network, on the Nodal blockchain, but it basically, it'll just store your data. Whatever you take with that app, it stores it right there immutably forever.
Technically, it's forever.
You're nodding, but that doesn't help your audio.
For a very long time, yeah. That's always the concept. You never know when something is going to stop, but it's very long time, and it's very cost effective. So, with a simple computer, you might imagine that the chain may have many nodes, and the nodes go down, but you will always have like one or two nodes still running the blockchain. So technically, those things can run forever. And the security of the blockchain, there are two parts of it. There are the part that the user is signing a content, and this is very strong security. And there's also the security of the blockchain. Like, you need some level of decentralization to ensure that you are not rewriting the blockchain.
Ah, okay. So basically, like, to use the Ukraine example, there's not only a need to fund a side of this, to take a side and to send something. The Ethereum address enables you to do that on
exactly.
the blockchain. But there's also a need to document the reality of what's happening.
Exactly.
And so Click enables you now, in the same way that the Ethereum address enabled you to send money and fund something that you feel important, that is important to you.
Yeah.
Now, if you want to know that that thing happened for real, someone can use Click on the ground there and say, we can use the blockchain, the same technology really, to authenticate, this is what happened. This atrocity is happening. This
it, And it's a common place that everybody can go. The blockchain can be viewed by anyone to say, hey, this is this user. This image was taken and it was verified. And you don't have to check in with a centralized system that could be taken down or jammed or maybe just become, you know, irrelevant in 10 years. The blockchain will be around for a long time.
So when that picture is taken, it shows the location. What exactly is this metadata you're talking about? What is the exactly when I see that picture, is there like a listing next to it? What does this look like? How would I know?
The first thing is your public key, which is actually generated on your phone. And this is basically your identity. On top of that, there's a signature.
Like your license plate for your car. Yeah. Like you would know it if you were to look it up in a system.
Just longer and harder to memorize. And basically the signature of the image. So when you take the image, it is signed cryptographically, which is a cryptographic process that's really difficult to fake. So we have this proof that you took this image, because we also want the root of trust to essentially be at the camera. So we get the image from the camera, we sign it, and we know that that image is real. And we can push that onto a blockchain. So you have your public key, you have the signature of that image, and then you have a bunch of metadata from the camera, like what type of phone, the image size, all the stuff that we photographers love associated with that image, so that when you want to go back, you can kind of build a story back of who took that picture, how was it taken,
where was it taken, when was it,
is the lighting correct? And we want to keep improving that over time to become as secure as possible with that capture.
So we embed basically some proofs. So we have the proof of time. Proof of time is actually thanks to the blockchain. Blockchain are sometimes called time chain because they create hashes all the time. And it's impossible to predict what the next hash is going to be. So if you are actually extracting this hash and embedding it into your item, your photo item, then you can't possibly... I've thought about this item before.
The blockchain goes in a linear, exclusively linear fashion, right?
It goes in a linear fashion. But every time it has a random number, which is created from the activity of the blockchain, which you cannot predict, basically. So if you have this, it's a strong proof of time that you had this information prior. So you took this photo after this particular code, which is a hash, okay? So you have proof of time, which is very important.
This goes into the image.
Yeah.
It's kind of embedded in the image.
So it's like a watermark kind of.
Exactly. It's like a watermark, but it's a very, very secure and distributed and decentralized. So that's one thing which is very interesting. We also have proof of location, which is currently the weak spot. So because we rely mainly today on what the device is saying, which always can be fake in a certain way. How do we prevent the device to fake data? We have extremely strong security on the Click app. We are using a software from Guardsquare. This is a company that we partner with, and they are used by banks, for instance, to secure their banking app. So we have like bank level security on the Click app to make sure that data coming from the hardware, the device, has not been faked. For location, we are thinking about using the nodal network, which is a decentralized physical infrastructure network. So it's called DPIN, or people know Web3. And we are using wireless signals to create some kind of a wireless signature of locations.
The proof of interaction. Some people also call it a digital witness.
Okay, a digital witness.
Yeah.
So when I think about these NFTs for social good, I can totally see them in terms of needing them in journalism. That's social good. To be able to trust what you're seeing and reading in the news is fundamentally important and more important the more things get faked. Also, I need to be able to trust my online dating app that I'm not going to end up... I mean, like, if there could just be a growth chart, too. Is he really as tall as he said he was? I mean, I just show up, he's already sitting down. I don't even know. I know I sound very very bad now. But it's true. It's a thing, you know? So in the same way that maybe men don't want to show up and see someone look not the way that they expected, women, we have our own things, too. I'm just saying, it's across the board. Thank you for solving this problem. I can't wait until you embed this and you have some API into Tinder. That'll be helpful. All the other ones.
Tinder, we'd love to partner with you guys.
Yeah, Tinder. but also, like, I'm wondering about other places where there's social good applications. I mean, like in I guess I'm thinking about like insurance or something, like with property damage. I mean, if you have when something happened, you can kind of use it there. What is the other kind of social good uses here?
There's a lot of use cases in insurance. You know, for example, I crashed my car a few weeks ago. Somebody pulled out in front of me. And when that happens, they actually ask you to take a picture of the site and the damage. So there's
Did you click it?
I didn't click it. It happened just before you pushed the app. But otherwise, I would definitely. And so there's a lot of interesting applications for that. I think the most compelling is actually media. So all these big media companies are really scared of generative AI, and especially degrading the value of actors and actresses and models and things like that. And what we're finding is that the consumer actually has a really strong appeal with this idea of a real person. When you buy an item or want to go shopping or listen to somebody, there's a real value to know that that's a real person. There's a real brand associated with that. And we believe that there's going to be an extremely valuable link to link this real person to this media that they're creating.
That might be the only way they can keep their livelihood, right?
Yeah,
because they make their money off of their image. And so if that can be faked, they need to have a way to defend against that.
Yeah, like, you know, some of these magazines, just say Vogue, for example, might not be as valuable if you flip the pages and you know it's not real.
That's true.
So we believe that that brand of real humanity, this happened in front of you, can be really exciting. And I personally think that there might even be a use case where you start to see images that look, you know, more realistic, more gritty, unedited, you know, like somebody jumping out of an aircraft, you know, wearing a Vogue styling or something like that. And maybe the image is grainy and there's like water on the lens and stuff. And there might become a resurgence of like real live gonzo style content that's authenticated. And I think it's going to open up a really interesting space for media and for journalism.
Yeah, it's funny. We've all been pushing towards more and more polished, more and more stable everything. I've even wondered if, you know, volatility in a currency is the new mark of it actually being a really, truly used thing, because if it actually is worth more versus less versus stable, the government kept it stable. They're like, inflation will catch up later, but we don't even know. Like, so I'm starting to wonder if maybe our flaws are where our value actually resides, whether it's in our image or in our volatility, not just my bad mood swings, but like the currency volatility, you know?
I mean, people aren't really trusting media anymore, especially the big media companies. And you had the original kind of gritty media companies like Vice, you know, now go bankrupt. And so we're seeing some of the most interesting media, at least in my opinion, is coming out on YouTube with, you know, Channel 5 News or Popular Front or all these kind of, you know, young guys going out there with video cameras doing real journalism that other people don't want to or are afraid to cover. And it just is a lot more interesting. And we're seeing really, really cool stuff happening. So it's definitely a big shift in media. And being able to verify that is just going to make that much more valuable.
Absolutely. That's just really exciting just to see how many places where just with the right tool in our hands, we can erect our own social good, right? A network to do so just to enable us to do it for ourselves. So, well, thank you guys for making a very cool tool that we hopefully will see used more and more. Where can we find Click? Where can we find Nodal? Give us the, you know, all the, I don't know, the ats and the hashtags and the whatevers.
So the Click app, you can just search Click Camera on the App Store and Google Store and it should pop up. There's clickapp.com for the Click Camera app. You can try it out. We want to build the best camera app in the world, so give us your feedback. We'd love to hear it. And then just nodal.com, nodle.com. is more on the blockchain, the digital trust network side of things. So Click is one of the really cool applications built on top of this network.
Fantastic. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Garrett, Florent, I really appreciate your time. This has been a great conversation. Have fun at South by Southwest.
Thank you.
Thank you.